This is Chapel for February the 5th, 1963. Dr. Weatherspoon is our speaker.
I have been asked to announce that the regular sign language class will begin this Thursday, February 7th, at 4 p.m. in Appleby 109. Other details are on the bulletin board. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, who has given us life and fellowship with thyself through Jesus Christ, we lift our hearts and voices to thee in humble praise, for it is by thy grace that we are here. By thy grace we face every day and the great future, confident in thy love. We pray today that there may be renewed in our hearts that sense of dependence upon thee which we had when we first gave our hearts to thee. We pray for a renewal of that sense of belonging to others that will lead us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We pray for the renewal of the strength of meekness in our souls that will help us to stand in the midst of evil circumstance and having done all to stand. Wilt thou renew in us that hunger and thirst after righteousness that will keep our hearts ever stayed on thy great love and abundance. We pray for that purity of heart that will be eyes for our faith to see God and to rejoice in his fellowship. Give to us courage, we pray thee, to face our tasks even when men oppose and we suffer. Renew in us, we pray thee, all those qualities of spirit toward which our Lord has pointed us, that in this world, in our day, we may be true witnesses of his grace and power. We pray this morning for our president. We thank thee for his improvement. Help him, even as we worship here together, to know afresh thy presence and thy grace. Give him increased physical strength and spiritual strength, that in his leadership he may have something of thy wisdom and thy power. We thank thee for the institution that has grown under his leadership. And we pray this morning for this fellowship, that all of us may be renewed in that love of peace that will make us peacemakers and maintain that fellowship of faith and love that becomes those who lead thy people. Be with us now as we turn our thoughts to thy word. May they open to us new doors of understanding and of vision, that this day may be blessed through this hour, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I wish to read this morning Psalms 42 and 43, which almost all agree are really one psalm, separated only for liturgical use. As a heart longs for flowing streams, so longs my soul for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me continually, "Where is thy God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of thy cataracts. All thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, "Where is thy God?" Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From deceitful and unjust men deliver me. For thou art the God in whom I take refuge. Why hast thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to the holy hill and to thy dwelling. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise thee with the lyre, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. This is a transcript of a soul's struggle out of darkness into light. And as such, it is never outdated. The authors name the historical circumstance, the exact meaning of his imagery are all quite secondary. For the important thing here is that the psalmist reveals his soul's experience in a difficult world and his continuing and final response to the deepest thing within him. And in that recital of human experience, he is speaking for many of us and to all of us. He had been a most devout worshiper, as devout and enthusiastic and happy as you were when you first committed yourself and your whole life to the service of God. Something happened to this man. Something deeper and more serious from physical separation from Jerusalem and the temple of worship. He had lost contact with God. He was overtaken by a great sense of loneliness, of being forgotten and cast off. He could not find God. His skies were full of clouds, and the meaning of faith was somehow missing. In that, this psalmist was quite 20th century. He would have understood what we say when we talk about the hiddenness of God. One of the very popular texts of this day is that which says, God is a God who hides himself. We've heard it in sermons. We've read it in books and magazines. And we have observed it in the questions of theological students. It's very easy for us in our time, which I need not stop to describe again, for us to lose the sense of the reality and the presence, the concern, and the trustworthiness of our God to lead us to high ground. We are in that sense lost because we have lost the sense of the living reality of the living God. And all the while, ghostly voices from every quarter keep saying to us, where is thy God? They come from theological speculation often. They come from sociology's thought concerning the organization and salvation of life. from the deep probings of psychology into the human soul. At so many points, the voice is, "Where is thy God?" So it was with this poor man. But he was not so poor as many of us moderns, for he did not turn skeptic or unbeliever. He did not abandon God because it seemed that God had abandoned him. He did not turn secularist and stop lifting his eyes to heaven. He held on to faith in God. I heard Dr. Henry Wyman say in one of his classes one day that much of our faith ought to be tentative. But there is one thing, he said, about which a man should not raise a question, and that is the reality of what he called the supremely worthful. A man ought to tie himself to that one fundamental thing which we would express in the words, "I believe in God." This man believed that God is, and that he is the Lord of all that happens to us. He would not accept pessimism and despair. He remained thirsty. He longed for God as a thirsty heart longed for living streams. He did not give up and leave God out of the picture of his life. In his darkness, he let his mind go back to that bright past. You know, we may live too much in the present, for history and experience have light to give us a new reassurance concerning our faith. Recall when he poured out his song about the wonderful day in which faith really meant something to him and he enjoyed the fellowship of God. He turned and said to himself, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why disquieted? Hope in God." For there was reality back there, and I shall know it again. But that wasn't the whole struggle. No sooner had he said that than the whole cloud descended on him again, and he began to talk about his soul being cast down. He went from place to place, and circumstances change, but they do not change much in their movements and their meaning, whether he was by the Jordan or on lofty Hermon or a little miser. He saw and felt the strain of that sense of having lost contact with God. He spoke about cataracts, about waves and billows sweeping over his soul. But there's something new here. Right in the midst of that description of the hardness of life, he spoke of the steadfast love of God that now and again shone through day and night. And he could not understand why, if God was behind the cloud and now and again pierced the cloud, he should be left in the darkness. And he again asked over and over, why? Why has all this happened to me? And then he stopped. There was no answer. And then the upsurge that came from that deep, unshakable faith of his caused him again to say to himself, why art thou disquieted? Hope thou in God. We have to learn that the road to the high spiritual plateau is an uneven road and is not to be reached by one stretch of effort. The struggle goes on and on. In the world you have tribulation. And this man, feeling the pressure upon him, suddenly became sorry for himself, and he cried out to God, vindicate me, plead my cause, free me from these men. You're the God in whom I have taken refuge. Why am I forsaken? But this can be said, even though he was ready to challenge God and protest against his life, he addressed, like Jesus on the cross, he addressed his cry to God himself. He was still there. He was still the end of his search. And suddenly, over his protest and sense of having been wronged, there came up a prayer. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me to thy holy hill, and I will praise thee, O Lord, my God. And that appeal to God out of the blackness led him to say the third time, and now I think with greater confidence than ever before, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Yes, he arrived at that. Hope. Not that the circumstances of life would be greatly changed, but a bright door was open. Hope in God. Did the New Testament writer have some such experience in mind when he said, we are saved by hope, saved from our sense of desertion, saved from our sense of being wronged, saved from our unwillingness to take life and stand up to it? Hope thou in God. And how much stronger is the foundation of our hope today than this man could find? Perhaps the best image of light and truth that could come to him was that of two bright angels, one on each side, carrying him through the dark valleys back toward fellowship with the eternal. We have more. We have the image of God's light and God's truth. in Jesus Christ, who stood with his disciples, who stands with us as we face tomorrow, and says, do not live too much in the present. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And that which is above and that which is ahead will be yours, to the blessing of your life and the glory of God. Let us stand. May thy light and thy truth that are in Jesus Christ shine upon us today. And wherever we stand in the midst of life's struggle, help us to say to our souls, hope thou this day in God, and keep fast hold of faith. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.